Just a word about the events of the last couple of days. I wish I had never heard of Uvalde, Texas, but I have now. And, you know, Jesus Christ is the answer. Amen. Praise God. If everybody got saved and had faith in Jesus, you know, Jesus is the answer, but Jesus has always been the answer since he was resurrected from the dead. But a lot of people die and go to hell and live miserable lives here on the earth. No, it's faith in Jesus is the answer. In other words, receiving what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross and was raised from the dead is the answer for all of man's problems. And so if everybody got saved and lived according to the principles of the Word of God, there would never be another school shooting in the next 10,000 years. Amen. In the meantime, our society, if people would live by the principles of this book, then our society would be a better place. So the answer, because you can get caught up in a lot of things, but the answer is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. But we are praying for them there. And, you know, I was looking it up just an hour ago. You know, about 50 or 60 people get killed every month in Chicago, just Chicago. Now, if they took a weekend that was a little more average, averages 15 or 16, but you know, some weekends are 20, 25. If they took those 25 people and then for 3 days, all they did was talk about them and show their parents crying and show their friends crying and everything, it'd be a horrible situation, wouldn't it? You know, and really made, you know, how really showed you all the background and why this person did this, and it was just a stray gang bullet or this, that, and the other. So there's a lot of evil in this world that's always been here. And that's why, again, bottom line, we need to keep preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people really need to realize what the root of the problem is, not all these other things. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, let's look in our Bible tonight to Galatians chapter 5. Praise God. Galatians chapter 5. On Wednesday nights, we've been studying and looking at something I'm calling practicing love in everyday life. And I'm not sure which one this is, but this is number 4. This is number 4. Practicing love in everyday life. Praise God. And so we're taking our time with this because this is a Bible study and we can do that. Glory to God. And in Galatians chapter 5, we've looked at other scriptures that are along these same lines, but we hadn't looked at this one yet. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 6 says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." And then verses 13 and 14, verse 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Well, we've said a lot about a lot of different things, because like I said, we've had 3 messages before this, and we finally got down to talking about key number 1, which we said is this: practice treating others the same way you want to be treated. Practice in everyday life, treat other people the way you want to be treated. You don't want them to talk bad about you, then don't you talk bad about them. You want them to give you the benefit of the doubt, then you give them the benefit of the doubt. Amen. You want them to be critical of you, then don't you be critical of others. And on and on and on. And we talked about that quite a bit. So key number 2, and this is what we're going to focus on tonight, is this. Number 2, something to practice in everyday life: refuse to hold anything against anybody. Refuse to hold anything against anybody. In other words, always forgive. Don't allow any anger or resentment or holding of grudges or bitterness against anybody. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Love thinks no evil." You know, King James, "Love thinketh no evil." That's a little blind to us. The word "thinketh" there means doesn't take in account. Amen. So in context, it says love doesn't take into account the evil done to it. So love always forgives. Glory to God. Love doesn't take into account, or as one translation says, and many translations bring this out, one translation says it doesn't keep any records of wrongs done against it. No, love always forgives. Love always forgives. And as you well know, the Bible tells us as Christians to forgive others numerous times, and we could look at a lot of scriptures, and we could look at a lot of stories. And the Word of God warns us of the dangers of not forgiving others. You know, many times, you know, the unforgiveness opens the door to the devil in our life. And for instance, a lot of times we see people, you know, instantly healed after they get rid of the bitterness or resentment or unforgiveness in their heart. Amen. But it's not just that. It's in a lot of different ways we open the door to the devil. And so tonight, I want to look at this from this angle. You know, over the years, I've talked to people that are mature believers, that are Christians, and they knew they should forgive. They knew that the Bible told us to forgive. And, you know, they could, you know, several scriptures. And they knew that. But nonetheless, they were having a hard time forgiving others. And sometimes they had some misunderstandings about what forgiveness was. And sometimes they didn't really know how to forgive others when they had all these, you know, unpleasant feelings, these negative feelings, these angry feelings, these hurt emotions on the inside of them. So I want to come at it from that angle. And, we've said this for years, but I'll keep saying it. Everybody thinks it's a good idea to walk in love until somebody does them wrong. You know, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Well, it hurts to get slapped. We forget that. He used that expression on purpose because you don't like it. It's very insulting, and it hurts to get slapped. So when somebody does you dirty, somebody does you wrong, somebody doesn't support you like they should have, you know, and you feel like your marriage failed because they didn't support you, or your business failed, or, you know, whatever, that can be very hurtful. And so we say, you know, sometimes the love talk is a whole lot easier than the love walk. Glory to God. And so tonight I want to give you some of the best statements that I've ever read from some different people. You know, things I already knew, but just the way other people say them sometimes bring it out in a different light. But some things I've learned over the years, some of the best statements I've ever heard from just different people about forgiveness and unforgiveness, and especially about how to forgive others and what forgiveness really is. Amen. Things that I recognize help people who were struggling to forgive someone who had wronged them in some way. And there's no particular order here, but the first one comes from Reverend Tony Cook. And he said, in order to understand what forgiveness is, this is true of any Bible subject, in order to understand what forgiveness is, you have to understand what forgiveness is not. What forgiveness is not. And he actually lists five things, and this is very good. He says, forgiveness is not condoning or approving of an evil action. Forgiveness is not saying what the other person did is acceptable. See, I think we think, if it was acceptable, you wouldn't have to forgive them. If there was nothing wrong with what they were doing, they wouldn't need any forgiveness. And so we think, well, if I forgive them, they'll think I'm condoning what they did. No, forgiveness is not condoning evil. It's not condoning what somebody did that was wrong. And we need to understand that. Again, if it was acceptable, if it wasn't wrong, then we wouldn't need to forgive. So we need to understand that, praise God. The problem here is that the other person might not even admit that they did wrong. They might not even recognize that they did wrong, or they refuse to recognize they did wrong. And that bothers us sometimes. They won't acknowledge they're wrong. But the Bible doesn't say to forgive them if they repent. The Bible just says to forgive them. Amen. Glory to God. And you have to leave that in the hands of God. We just do our part and we just go ahead and forgive, period. Can you say amen? But it doesn't mean when we forgive somebody that we're condoning wrong. Amen. And then number two, Brother Cook says, forgiveness does not mean, now this kind of goes hand in hand here really, he said forgiveness does not mean that you place yourself in a position to be continually hurt or abused. Forgiveness does not mean that you place yourself in a position to be continually used or abused. Here's a businessman in town, and I've gone to him, and I know for a fact that he has been dishonest with me, and he's cheated with me, and I know for a fact, you know, not hearsay, I know for a fact that he's done that to several other people. He's even a Christian. He's even always acting like I'm going to forgive him, but I'm not going to take my car back there. You understand? I'm not going to put myself in a position to be used or abused by that person, and neither should you. It's interesting that in 2 Timothy 4:14, Paul said, he's talking to Timothy, now listen to this, he said, Alexander the coppersmith, you remember that? You can read that over in Acts 16, 17, 18, 14, somewhere in there. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. No doubt Paul had forgiven Alexander. He wasn't saying he hated him and that he was seeking revenge. No, he said, I'm leaving that retaliation in the Lord's hand. Glory to God. But then Paul said to Timothy, now watch this. He said in the next verse 15, 2 Timothy 4:15, you also must beware of him. Other translations say, be on your guard concerning him. One translation says you should avoid him. Yes, you forgive him, but you're going to stay away from this person because this person is toxic. This person will hurt you. This person will damage you. This person will misuse you or use you. So you can forgive them, but that doesn't mean that you should put yourself in a position to be hurt by them or to be used by them. Other translations say, be careful that he doesn't hurt you too. Another one says, watch out for him. Another one says, keep away from him. So Paul didn't want Timothy to naively place himself in harm's way. Because you see, especially sincere Christians that really want to obey the Bible and really want to do what the Word of God tells them to do, they say, well, I love them, so I've just got to keep going and keep taking my car there, even though they're going to cheat me every time I go there. No, you don't. Amen. You can forgive, glory to God, but keep yourself out of harm's way. Here's some thoughts by Andrew Womack on this scripture. And he says this, Paul warned Timothy about Alexander and told him to beware of him. And he said the Greek word from which this word beware is translated means to be on guard, by implication, to preserve, obey, avoid. This goes against some people's philosophy of always believing the best of other person. Of course, we do believe the best of other person, but sometimes you can't. Amen. You still love them. You still forgive them. We studied that out a little bit, you remember. It's true that we are not supposed to be cynical and look for problems in everyone and everything, but when actions demand it, we should be aware of people who have proven track records of wrong behavior. This is wisdom. In our present society, there is tremendous pressure not to voice any opposition to anyone or any action. It's not politically correct. If we do, people will yell prejudice or make us out to be the ones with the problem. But it is correct to respond to people's actions and attitudes. We don't have to judge them in a condemning way, but we have to judge their potential threat to us and others. If a group of young men approach you in a dark alley with weapons and typical gang attire, you don't have to condemn them, but it would be expedient to make a judgment about the potential danger and act accordingly. You should be aware of situations like that and avoid them. Confusion over this very issue has mired society in a moral dilemma where there are no clear-cut lines of right and wrong. People are pressured not to judge others according to their looks and actions. Standards are so obscure that many people are afraid to make judgments lest they make a mistake. However, certain actions and attitudes are wrong. They are always wrong and always will be, regardless of public opinion. I don't have to be against the people who do these things, but there are certain actions that I should be aware of, and those who choose to act like that should not expect to be treated as if they are normal. It is a choice to look and act the way people do, and their actions bring consequences. Failure to admit this is not a statement about other people's prejudice, but rather an indication of the blindness of their own hearts. Paul told Timothy to beware of Alexander, and there are people and attitudes that we need to be aware of today. We just need to make sure that our judgments are solidly founded on God's Word and not on our traditions or unscriptural prejudices. Amen? Praise God. And then Tony says, and again, I think this goes, dovetails, forgiveness is not amnesia. What do you mean by that? Well, we've all heard forgive and forget. We forget in the sense that we are not letting what they did to us control our lives. We forget in the sense that we don't hold it against them anymore and we're not seeking revenge. You know that it happened, but you're not angry about it anymore. You're not bitter about it anymore. That's how you forget scripturally. See? And it's amazing the good thing that happens when we do that. You're not seeking revenge anymore. You're not plotting against that person anymore. And so, right into number four, forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. What is reconciliation? Reconciliation is when a relationship is restored. See, two people are at odds with one another, or two people are separated from one another, and now they're reconciled, they're brought back together. But forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. See, under certain conditions, the Word of God itself tells Christians about other Christians. Several times in the New Testament, the Word of God tells Christians not to associate with and not to fellowship with other believers that are conducting themselves in a certain way. Now, that's amazing, isn't it? Doesn't mean they just made a mistake. He said, if they're going to live in that lifestyle and they won't repent, he says, then you separate yourself. He says, you know, in other places, he says, you're not treating them as an enemy. No, you're trying to restore them. You're trying to bring them back into right relationship with God. They're living a lifestyle that's ungodly and wrong. And so, you know, this is part of God's dealing with these people. So, yes, we forgive them. But in some cases, but you know, you're separated from them. Reconciliation would require repentance on the part of the offender before there would be a restoration of the relationship. Does that make sense to you? Well, you have to remember what they did for that to happen. So again, forgiveness is not amnesia. You know what happened, but you're not holding it against them. But because you know what they did and they won't repent, and they're causing trouble, they're causing strife. The Word of God says, separate yourself from those people. They're living in open sin and refuse to repent. The Bible says, separate yourself. So we forgive people, whether they are repentant or not. Love doesn't have to have an apology to forgive. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. But incorporating all this together, we remember that the Alexander, okay, that harmed Paul and that would have harmed Timothy if he let him, and who did not repent, you know, and was out to hurt Christians, we remember that that person is toxic, they're abusive, they're unrepentant, they're unwilling to change. We know that. We forgive them. We don't hold it against them, but we stay away from them, and we don't have a relationship with them. Now, we'd like to have a relationship with them. You know, Paul, again, when he told people to you know, and I think it's in Thessalonians, he said, separate yourself from them, but he said, don't treat them as an enemy. You know, they're your brother. You want to be restored back into fellowship with them. But until they make some changes, until they repent, then that, you know, it doesn't mean you can't be civil to them, but that relationship is not going to be restored to the point it was before. Are you following what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you? All right. Amen. Glory to God. And then Brother Cook said, number five, forgiveness does not necessarily result in the immediate cessation of all unpleasant feelings. In other words, you forgive them, but you know that you're still hurt on the inside. That anger tries to rise up on the inside of you. That bitterness tries to be there. So it does not always result in the immediate cessation of all unpleasant feelings. Sometimes people still have hurts and some unpleasant emotional feelings, but... And here's what's important about this. You should not wait for those feelings and those emotions to go away before you forgive. You know, Lord, take it away. The Lord's not going to take it away. He told us to forgive. When we forgive, then those emotions begin to subside and eventually go away. Matter of fact, it's amazing how quickly the hurt and the pain and the anger will dissipate after we do what the Word of God tells us to do, after we forgive them, whether we feel like it or not. See? You see what I'm saying? Glory to God. So as an act of your will and in faith, and because the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, you choose to forgive that person and you do it by faith. The very fact that God commands us to love, and so everybody say love always forgives. Well, God commands us to love. Is that right? Well, but you don't always feel like loving. You don't always feel like forgiving. You don't always feel like compassion. You don't always feel like doing all the things that love would do. So the very fact that we're commanded to love means that love is not just a feeling. No, God's love, agape love, is much more than just a feeling or an emotion. And because we are commanded to do it, we can do it. Glory to God. Amen. And because we certainly don't always feel like loving people and forgiving people and doing good to those who mistreat us and deliberately are out to get us and hurt us, so we forgive as a deliberate act of love by faith. And our emotions still may be unpleasant. So important. This is what bothers people. So when the devil comes around and says, you're a terrible Christian, look at you. You know, that thought still came to you, what they did to you, and you ought to get even. Just because a thought came to you doesn't mean, you know, you have to accept it. Doesn't even mean it's your thought. Thoughts come from the outside, from the enemy. So the devil comes and gives people a condemning thought, then he can condemns them for having the thought that he gave them. So a thought comes to you, you know, that anger tries to rise up on the inside of you. What are you supposed to do? Don't agree with it. Resist the devil and say, yes, no, I will not accept that. I did forgive that person. I don't care what my emotions say. I chose to forgive that person. I forgave them by faith. I don't live by my emotions. I live by faith. I walk in love, and I made the decision to forgive them, and I did forgive them, and they are forgiven. And so you tell your emotions to shut up. Now we kind of understand that when it comes to other areas, but we don't seem to understand it in this area. We think, oh, I didn't forgive them because I've got that wrong emotion. Now listen to me. If you believed you received an answer to prayer, you follow me? You believed you received an answer to prayer. And then 3 days came by and something came up and suggested to you that your prayer was not answered. Some symptom showed back up in your body. You know, would you fall apart? And not if you're a word person, not if you know what to do, not if you've been instructed what to do, not if you're a faith person. If a symptom came back, if a circumstance shows up that's contradictory to what you believed you received when you prayed, you wouldn't accept that. You wouldn't think, oh, I'm just full of fear. I'm just full of doubt. I guess I didn't believe anyway. I didn't get anything. No, you'd resist it and say, by faith, I believed I received the answer to my prayer. I don't care what my emotions say. I am healed. My need is met. Whatever it was that you prayed about. You do the same thing when it comes to an unforgiveness thought about somebody that you have forgiven. It's because the thought may come back to you, especially in the beginning days when your emotions are raw, but you don't accept it. Because yes, if you sit there and dwell on it and relive it, rethink about it, then you may take it back on, but you don't have to. And you don't have to think, I didn't really forgive them. No, you can say, I did forgive them and I, in the name of Jesus. Are you following me? Praise God. Hallelujah. So important. Something I read about Corrie ten Boom one time, this is another one of those things about love I think helps people, fits right here. You know, Corrie ten Boom was a Holocaust survivor. She was actually, you know, she wasn't a Jew, she was helping the Jews. And so when she and her family were caught helping the Jews, then they were all put in a German prison camp, you know, a concentration camp, just like the Jews were. And, you know, two or three members of her family, I forget which ones, she never saw again. They were killed. And so like everybody else in a German Nazi concentration camp, she suffered horrible indignities and was treated horribly. And she said she was having a hard time getting over what had been done to her. She felt like she had forgiven those who had hurt her, but she kept rehashing the incident in her mind and couldn't sleep, and her emotions were stirred up about it. And like I said, obviously you can slip back into unforgiveness, even though you've really forgiven somebody. You can slip back into unforgiveness if you in your mind keep rehearsing and rehashing and holding on to the wrong they did to you. So don't do that. But even though you've truly forgiven the person, those thoughts and wrong feelings may hang on. And this is what confuses people. They think, well, I didn't really forgive them. No, that's not true. Here's what she said. She said, help came to me. Glory to God. And she said, God's help came in the form, I'll read this from her. She said, God's help came in the form of a kindly Lutheran pastor whom I confessed my failure after two sleepless weeks. Up in the church tower, he said, nodding to the window, is a bell which is rung by pulling on the rope. But you know, after the sexton lets go of the rope, the bell, you know, nobody's ringing it anymore, but the bell still reverberates back and forth three or four times, all right? First ding and then dong, slower and slower until there's a final dong and it stops. He said, I believe the same thing is true of forgiveness. When we forgive, we take our hand off the rope. But if we've been tugging at our grievances for a long time, we must not be surprised if the old angry thoughts keep coming for a while. They're just the ding-dongs of the old bells slowing down. And so it proved to be. There were a few more midnight reverberations, Corrie ten Boom says, a couple of dings that when the subject came up in my conversation, but the force, which was my willingness in the matter, had gone out of them. They came less and less often, and at last stopped altogether. And so I discovered another secret of forgiveness. We can trust our God not only above our emotions, but also above our thoughts. Can you say amen? So again, you just go ahead and forgive them by faith as an act of love and as an act of your will. Glory to God. And anytime those negative thoughts and emotions show up, say, no, I've forgiven them. I resist that. I forgive them. And sooner than you think, those emotions and feelings and thoughts will be gone forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, here's something else. Here's something else that I think helps people in this area. This came from Dr. James Dobson. I got this years ago. And, you know, this is just a little question and answer thing in his magazine. And somebody asked the question, doesn't ultimately being proven right on an issue somewhat justify my resentful or negative behavior? I mean, you know, somebody said there's three sides to every story. You know, your side, their side, and the right side. And that's the way it is so much of the time. But sometimes that's not the way it is. Sometimes they're absolutely wrong. They're absolutely wrong in the sight of God. They're absolutely wrong in the sight of heaven, you know. And here you are totally innocent. And so sometimes we're in a dangerous position there because we think, I'm in the right, so doesn't that justify my sin? it doesn't. He said, no, I've observed that Christians are often in the greater danger where they are in the right in a conflict than when they are clearly wrong. In other words, a person is more likely to become bitter and deeply hostile when someone has cheated him or taken advantage of him than is the offender himself. Dr. E. Stanley Jones stated that a Christian is more likely to sin by his reactions than his actions. In other words, you didn't do anything. You're just walking through life, and all of a sudden somebody does something to you that's clearly wrong, but now how are you going to respond to it? Well, you're going to respond in love. You're going to respond in forgiveness, even though you were totally innocent, didn't have anything to do with it. Perhaps this is one reason why Jesus told us to turn the other cheek, knowing that Satan can make devastating use of anger in an innocent victim. And then kind of right along with this, not exactly, but right along, I've also noticed this over the years in dealing with people and in my own life. You have to be careful not to become offended on behalf of another person. In other words, you know yourself, I'm going to walk in love, I'm going to walk in forgiveness, but you find out they did it to your baby girl or they did it to your friend and you get, it ain't right that they treat you that way. And without even realizing it, you become bitter in behalf of another person. So you have to be careful about that. Amen. Say, but you love them and you care about them. I know a man came to see me one time and he said, and this was somebody that was dying of a disease, and somebody that considered themselves a strong faith person, and somebody that considered themselves as knowing the great truths about love and forgiveness. But as he was talking to me, he said, I deeply resent the way they're treating my wife. And it kind of took me back because I said, well, you understand if you resent something that's you're not walking in love toward those people. Then that took him back. But you see, the devil had kind of sneaked up on him and, you know, did it through this other person, you know, because he was upset for them. Glory to God. So we must be sure that we don't make that mistake. That's a subtle trick of the devil. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. You know, don't get offended and upset because of what somebody's supposedly did to your friend or somebody you're counseling. I have to be careful about that as a pastor. You know, people come to me and they're only telling me one side of the story. That's why when it comes to husbands and wives, I say, I can't talk to you about that unless you bring your wife in here or unless you bring your husband in. I can only talk to you about what you should do. We're not going to sit there and just trash them. I don't even know if you're, I don't say that to them, but I don't even, you know, they have a side to the story. And of course, Proverbs says that. Proverbs says, you know, if you don't, you're a fool to only listen to one side of the story and then make up your mind. And then a few verses later, it says, it's like this Johnny Depp thing. You know, I've been keeping up with that. But everybody sounds good until they cross-examine them. And you get the others. That's the Word of God says that. Praise God. Amen. So don't get upset because of what somebody supposedly did to your friend. You've only heard one side of the story. You don't really know the truth. And even if it is the truth, what are they supposed to do? If somebody's wronged them, they're to forgive. And so are you. Amen. Glory to God. Now, here's some thoughts. Now, I really like this. I don't know much. I don't even know who Neil T. Anderson is too much. But he wrote a book many, many years ago called The Bondage Breaker. This is a book on demonology, really. But he starts talking about unforgiveness because he knows that opens the door to the devil. And he says some things that overlap some of the things we've said here. But this is really, really good. Tony Cook says forgiveness is not amnesia. He said it this way. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Listen to this very carefully. People who want to forget all that was done to them will find they cannot do it. Don't put off forgiving those who have hurt you, hoping the pain will one day go away. Lord, take away the pain, take away the pain, take away the pain. Then I'll know. No, that's not how it works. You forgive, then the pain goes away. If you don't forgive something that happened to you 20 years ago, you may not think about it every single day, but when it comes up, all those old feelings and anger and resentment of bitterness, I hate that guy's guts. But if you forgive, then you'll remember that it happened, but there won't be any more pain associated with it. Don't put off forgiving those who have hurt you, hoping the pain will one day go away. Once you choose to forgive someone, then Christ can come and begin to heal you of your hurts. But the healing cannot begin until you first forgive. Amen. I said amen. I know when I first got involved, and I'm still a policeman down in Tifton, Georgia, and I'm riding around in my car, and I'm listening to Brother Copeland, and he starts teaching about love and forgiveness a little bit. And so I realized one day, because I'm growing in the Lord and I want to grow in the Lord and I want to be pleasing to the Lord, I want to do what God tells me to do just to please Him. And of course, it also stops the devil in your life. But I realized there were two people in my life that I held something against just from a kid, because I'm only 23 years old then, 24 years old then on the police force. I remember an eighth grade teacher that grabbed me by my collar one day and picked me up off my feet in front of the whole classroom. Well, I didn't think about that guy every day, but when I did think about him, it'd be like, that guy, I'd like to burn his house. I hate him, And a guy I worked for, I worked at a place like a Walmart. It's called Pick and Save in Florida. And the manager of that store, he was like Hitler when it came to the stock boys. He's just like the little kid that pulls wings off flies. He just enjoyed tormenting us. He really did. He just enjoyed tormenting us. And he'd tell us every day, I got 50 people ready to replace you if you leave. Just did his best to aggravate us. Me and my buddies did find out where he lived completely. I lived in a big city, Jacksonville, Florida. He lived way across the other side of town, and we egged his house. Erase that from the tape. I don't know if the statute of limitations is trying to. And I just think, every time I thought about him, I'd be like, I didn't think about him every day, but when I did, I'd just think, that guy, I can't stand him. That happened, when I was 16 years old. This is 10 years later, whatever. See, so the pain of it, the anger is still there, the resentment is still there, the bitterness is still there. But now that I'm hearing about walking in love and walking in forgiveness, in the first place, because I'm honest with myself, I thought, that teacher that picked me up by his collar there? He was giving out report cards. Last day, we had homeroom. Anybody know what homeroom is? Some of the young, when I went to school, guys, homeroom was where you'd go every morning for about 15 minutes, and that was just, it was just homeroom. That's where you'd start the day, and then everybody would go, what was homeroom? Why the heck? I don't know why we had homeroom. Anyway, announcements for the day and that sort of stuff, homeroom. And so at the end of the day, it's the last day of school, actually, and he's my homeroom teacher, and then he was also one of my regular teachers, and, never mind. Anyway, he's giving out report cards. Well, when he comes to mine, he just bypasses mine and gives out everybody. Then he still doesn't call my name out. Everybody's getting their report card, and they're going home. Of course, people are still in the classroom, so there's a lot there. And he just stuck my report card behind his back. Well, I walked up to him and snatched it out of his hand as violently as I could. So, and there were other things. So I wasn't, and being honest before the Lord, I realized with both of these men, I was at least partially or at least half as wrong. In other words, I admitted I began, instead of just blaming them, I saw that I was to blame in a lot of ways. But anyway, what I want to get to you is I let go of it and I forgave those two men, and I made a commitment in my heart that day never to hold anything against anybody ever. And I've lived by that for all these years. That was 78 probably. I've had some marvelous opportunities. Don't misunderstand me. I've had some marvelous opportunities to be angry at people. But I refuse to hold the least bit of ill will or bitterness against anybody. Glory to God. And when things happen, you know, things happen to you as a pastor in the ministry that are very hurtful. But when you let it go, it's what I'm saying is all those years I had those bad feelings toward those men. But when you let it go, I don't have bad feelings toward anybody. I remember what they did. I remember what they said, but it doesn't hurt. Doesn't bother me anymore. Yet sometimes you'll talk to somebody and you know, they'll just act like, you know, you're talking to them and it's like Brother Hagin. You know, one time he went to a new church and he said he just barely got moved in the parsonage. Here come a lady knocking on the door, you know, and she come marching in there. And she said, "Well, Brother Hagin, I want to tell you what happened." She said, "I want to tell you for anybody else in the church happens." And she starts talking about what this lady in the church had done her wrong and done her dirty and did this to her and done that to her. And Brother Hagin thought, well, I'm the new pastor and the other pastor just left. So sometime here in the last week or so, they've gotten to some kind of little tiff and she's mad and she's upset and she's asking me for counsel. And so he just honestly said to her, he said, "Well, sister," he said, "when did this happen?" You know, he's thinking it happened last Tuesday or something. And she said, "Well, let's see now. Come this, whatever, that'll be 7 years ago, you know." Well, you know, you'll hate somebody for 7 years. You'll be angry with somebody for 7 years. You'll resent somebody for 17 years. But if you let go of it, it'll all go away. That's so important. I have to keep going. Forgiveness, he says, is a choice, a decision of your will. We talked about that. He says it this way. Since God requires you to forgive, it is something you can do. Sometimes it's very hard to forgive someone because we naturally want revenge for the things we have suffered. Might as well admit it, it's the truth. Forgiveness seems to go against our sense of what is right and fair. This isn't right! Now, when we do something that's not right, we want people to forgive us, but nonetheless, this isn't right. It goes against our sense of what's right and fair. So we hold on to our anger, punishing people over and over again in our minds for the pain they've caused us. But we are told by God never to take our own revenge, Romans 12:19. Let God deal with that person. Let him or her off your hook. Because as long as you refuse to forgive someone, you are still hooked to that person. You are still chained to your past, bound up in your bitterness. By forgiving, you let the other person off your hook. Now watch this. This goes back to, does it mean that what they did is right? We're not condoning sin. We're not condoning evil. You know, but he or she may not be off God's hook. You let them off your hook. The way God deals with them is between him and, you know, is up to him. And sometimes he does deal with people. But he deals with people with mercy and kindness, just like he deals with you. You must trust that God can deal with that person justly and fairly, something you simply cannot do. Do you trust God to deal with them justly and fairly? And if something needs to be done to correct, He can handle that. But you don't know how much that person hurt me. You're right. We don't. But Jesus does. And He tells us to forgive. And don't you see? Until you let go of your anger and hatred, that person is still hurting you. You can't turn back the clock and change the past, but you can be free from it. You cannot turn back the clock and change the past, but you can be free from it. Oh, that's so good. You can stop the pain, but there's only one way to do it. Forgive. Forgive. Then he said, forgive others for your sake so you can go free. Forgiveness is mainly a matter of obedience to God. God wants you to be free. There is no other way. Forgiveness, now watch this, because this is a little, you have to think about this a little bit. Forgiveness is agreeing to live with the consequences of another person's sin. You are going to live with those consequences anyway, whether you like it or not. So the only choice you have is whether you will do so in the bondage of bitterness or the freedom of forgiveness. No one truly forgives without accepting and suffering the pain of another person's sin, at least temporarily. This can seem unfair, and you may wonder whether justice is in it, but justice is found at the cross, which makes forgiveness for them, for you, morally and legally right. Jesus took the eternal consequences of sin upon himself. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God, 2 Corinthians 5:21. We often suffer temporarily the consequences of other people's sins, but you forgive anyway. Do not wait, he says, for the other person to ask for your forgiveness. Remember, Jesus did not wait for those who were crucifying him to apologize before he forgave them. Even while they mocked and jeered at him, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Then he says, forgive from your heart. Amen. Allow God to bring to the surface the painful emotions you feel toward those who've hurt you. If your forgiveness doesn't touch the emotional core of your life, it will be incomplete. Then he says, forgiveness is choosing not to hold someone's sin against him or her anymore. It is common for bitter people to bring up past issues with those who have hurt them. They want them to feel bad. But we must let go of the past and choose to reject any thought of revenge. In other words, they caused me to suffer, so I want them to feel bad. I want them to suffer for it. And if they're not going to suffer for it and feel bad, you know, that's what makes it so aggravating when they won't even admit they did anything wrong or they won't apologize for it. But you forgive anyway. Don't allow yourself to be continually abused by others. This doesn't mean, he says, you continue to put up with the failure sins of others, future sins of others. God does not tolerate sin, and neither should we. Don't allow yourself to be continually abused by others. Take a stand against sin while continuing to exercise grace and forgiveness toward others who've hurt you. If you need help setting wise limits and boundaries to protect yourself from further abuse, talk to a trusted friend, counselor, or pastor. And then he says, finally, don't wait until you feel like forgiven. You will never get there. Don't wait till you feel like forgiven. You will never get there. Make the hard choice to forgive, even if you don't feel like. Once you choose to forgive, Satan will have lost his power over you in that area, and God's healing touch will be free to move. Freedom is what you will gain right now, but not necessarily an immediate change in feelings. Well, you can see how that overlaps, but it's all true. And so those are some of the best two or three pages I've ever read about forgiveness and unforgiveness right there. He goes on just quickly to say, don't say, "Lord, please help me forgive." He's already helping you and will be with you all the way through the process. Don't say, "Lord, I want to forgive," because that bypasses the hard choice we have to make. Say, "Lord, I choose to forgive." Amen. I said amen. Glory to God. And so these are things that I think help people tremendously when it comes to forgiveness. I know a lady came to me one time who was, well, it happened a long time ago. You'd have no idea who it was. Her husband had went and got another lady pregnant, and now a baby was going to be born. And she was really struggling with that. You know, the ultimate betrayal and rejection and so forth. But she was really struggling with the fact of, I know I'm supposed to forgive, but I just don't seem to be able to, and it makes me mad at myself because I can't forgive. Well, I didn't know as much back then as I know now. I don't know much now, but I didn't know as much back then as I know now. And, you know, she needed to understand, go ahead and forgive him by faith, whether you feel like it or not, regardless of your feelings. Then, amen, the feelings will go away. Then God will pour in the oil and wine and heal you of your pain. But she was waiting for that all to go away before she felt like she had forgiven him or before she could forgive him. That's not the way it works. Now, let me do something with you. I haven't done this with people in a lot of years, but everybody, would you just bow your eyes or close your eyes? You know, all of us have spent 50 years telling people not to let the devil condemn you. Don't let the devil bring up something that you've already gotten forgiveness for, because the devil does that to people. You know that. You understand that. But right on the other hand, sometimes people are holding things against people in their heart and they don't even really realize it. And so I felt impressed in times in counseling with people to say, "Well, you know, are you holding anything against anybody?" They'd say, no, I know better than that. I'd say, "Well, why don't you just openly and honestly before the Lord say, 'Lord, if I'm holding anything against anybody, reveal it to me.'" I did that with one gentleman, and all of a sudden I said, "Did the Lord show you anybody?" He goes, yeah. And he listed about 20 people, including me. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, can you just simply say this out loud and then say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace in my life. Thank you for forgiving me. And I ask you, Lord, to right now, sincerely I ask you to reveal to me, to bring to my mind any person that I've not really forgiven. Any person that I have any anger toward, resentment toward, or bitterness against. Now don't drag up something that's there. Don't let the devil condemn you. But if the Lord brings somebody to your mind, hold that in your heart there. Now we're going to all say this, so you know. And then you say this. Say, Lord, I choose to forgive. And then just in your own heart there, just call their name. Lord, I choose to forgive them. I choose to forgive them. Say it with me. Say, I forgive what they did to me. Say, everybody say it. Say, I forgive what they did to me. I forgive what they failed to do for me. And I choose not to hold anything against them. I let go of my right to seek revenge. They don't owe me anything. I forgive them. I release them. And I ask you to bless them, Lord. Now heal my damaged emotions. And I thank you for setting me free in the name of Jesus. Now stand up and lift your hands and praise God. Praise God, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I can tell you this, the power of the Lord's present to heal. The power of the Lord's always here, but it's here and it's present to heal. Glory to God. You removed any barrier, you removed the unforgiveness, just reach up and say, I take it by faith. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Anything you need, just reach up and take it. It's like you're just plucking it right from the hands of, out of the atmosphere filled with the presence of God's Spirit. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. No hindrance to your prayer life to those who are walking in love and walking in faith. In faith, love always forgives. No hindrance, no hindrance, no hindrance. And if there was a hindrance, it's been removed. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Aren't you glad for the goodness of God? Aren't you glad for the mercy of God? Aren't you glad that God has forgiven you? Amen. I'm glad that God has forgiven me. I really, 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 really am. Glory to God. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 I can't tell you once you choose to forgive and once you choose to let it go, how fast your heart will become healed, even though it's been hurt and upset and struggling with something for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, maybe months and months, how fast that will heal if you just simply obey the Word of God in faith and do what God said do. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. Glory to God. Thank God the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Amen. 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 Praise God. We're glad you came tonight. Praise God. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.